That's some Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go, gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shooting, lights out.
Well, 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 how y'all doing? It is a Monday and it's after the 3 p.m. time slot, so you know it's shooting lights out time. And well, the NBA season is finally over. We crowned the champion last night. We also had some interesting results in the WNBA over the weekend. Also, we had a trade that nobody saw coming. Well, I'm gonna say nobody saw coming, but we had a trade that involves a certain superstar, and he's moving to the state of Texas. It's a lot to get into today. It's going to be fun, but you know, the playmakers here. I am in the building, ready to rock and roll, do some things, talk some basketball, and have a great show today. And joining me is my esteemed co-host for Monarchs of Ration, will be taking place in about close to three hours from now. Mr. Cool Breeze himself, Cool McCain, is in the building.
What it do, what it does.
Man, we are officially in summertime because we crowned a new NBA champion.
Yes, we did.
We are officially have hit the summer, which means it's going to be a little struggle. It's going to be a little struggle to get the football season. But we do have the WNBA.
It can definitely get tricky.
Oh, this is going to get tricky. So. But, man, we got some news and got a couple of news and notes that I want to dive into to start this show. Also, let's go ahead and go around the hardwood. And as we begin the around the hardwood segment, as you can see, cover the main story points we're going to touch on. First, the Buss family sold the Los Angeles Lakers for $10 billion.
I want to shout out Jenny Buss. She still is remaining the governor, and she's gaining $10 billion. And she's still part owner of the team. Minority, but still part owner.
Still part owner of the team, but 10.
I think it was a fantastic move.
Jeez.
$10 billion.
Good gracious, $10 billion? Hey, I mean, kind of interesting. How did that happen?
Kind of out of nowhere, it felt like.
Out of nowhere, you know, and which is quite interesting because this comes off the heels of LeBron James talking about ring culture. I said what I need to say on Snowman in the Morning. That when, as a matter of fact, I was on Snowman in the Morning Cool on a Wednesday. And you know how I feel about Wednesdays when it comes to that show.
Yes, I do.
So if y'all want to know what I had to say about when LeBron James ain't ring culture, go watch Snowman from last week. And I actually did a Bron Sexual Confession because of what he said. But yeah, Lakers went for 10. The Boston Celtics, they went for, I think it was like 6.4 million. I mean, 6.4 billion. And the Lakers sale blew that out the water. Good gracious. $10 billion. Can't be mad. Can't be mad at it. But they say, don't hate the player, hate the game.
That's what they say.
The Lakers own the game. That's for sure. There's no other NBA franchise I can think of that's going to go for over $10
billion. It is definitely wild. I will say that it is definitely a wild, for sure.
Next on the docket. Pat Connaughton is going to stay with the Milwaukee Bucks, picking up his $9.4 million option to stay with Milwaukee for another season. I think this is final of that new 3-year contract that he signed back in 2021, if I remember correctly.
But yeah.
He's going to hang around. Question is, will Giannis be hanging around? Especially after what happened over the week, especially what happened yesterday, which brings me to the main topic of the Randall Hardwood segment. The Suns have traded Kevin Durant to the Houston Rockets. If you don't know the trade details, I got them right here for you. Houston is getting Kevin Durant, while the Suns are getting Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, the 10th pick in this Wednesday's NBA draft, and 5 second round picks. Dude, I feel like we didn't just do something like this last week. What a different team.
I think I've had people kind of hit me up and want to discuss this, right? We did do something like this, but there was a few more first round picks involved a week ago. So you are correct. With one Dylan Brooks. So people are like, oh, how you get less for Kevin Durant than Dylan Brooks? Dylan Brooks is approaching.
Desmond Bane, I think.
Yeah, Desmond Bane. Dylan Brooks was including this trade. Thank you, sir. Yeah, Desmond Bane. I was looking at this trade and saying Dylan Brooks. But yeah, Desmond Bane is approaching his peak. Right? Whereas with one Mr. Durant, he's past that peak. So you're getting guys at different points. I think when you look at it, you have to realize KD probably got like 2, maybe 3 years left, right? Maximum. So him moving to Houston, you're saying, okay, we are trying to win a championship in the next 2 to 3 years. That's the reason why you make this move. It may or may not work, but you're making a move to get a guy who can solidify some of the issues that Houston has had. Scoring, you know, shooting, a steady hand, a guy who can make the shots when it's needed consistently. Things that young teams struggle with. Now you bring in Kevin Durant, you get rid of a couple of pieces, and you have an opportunity to still have a good, solid base, and you have a veteran to kind of help them develop and grow with them. You lose Jalen Green, but you knew that was probably going to happen if you were going to bring in somebody else. So he gets a chance to have a fresh start. Dylan Brooks is a defensive specialist in a league that doesn't really value defense that much. So take that as you want to. If you value defense, maybe you're upset. If you're a Houston fan, Dylan Brooks is gone. But if you want to win, you understand that in order for that to happen, you needed this to happen. As far as the Rockets go, this is the opportunity to try to make a window. As far as Houston goes, you're in rebuild mode.
So here's the interesting thing. Houston was able to keep Ahmad Thompson. Mm-hmm. And they was able to keep Sengun as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then, on top of it, your center is Steven Adams, who is familiar with Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm. From way back in the day.
We can look at the 5 second round picks given up. We can look at the 10th overall pick given up. We can look at Jalen Green giving up, but I do recall when I did have Cole Jones as my co-host that we were looking at Jalen Green with a raised eyebrow because it was like, Ahmad Thompson took your spot, sir. Instead of you being the face of the franchise and being the one people are looking at, we was looking at Ahmad Thompson for how he was playing until he got hurt. So this is a win now move for the Houston Rockets.
Right.
Which is going to be interesting once we recap the NBA Finals later on in the show, but I can't be mad at this move. I can't be mad at it at all. So, if Cole Johnson, if you're watching, I hope you're happy. You kept some of your key pieces and acquired a sniper in Kevin Durant. It's a hell of a thing they got going on. Can't be mad. And Phoenix, well, is that the only move y'all gonna make? What about Devin Booker? What about Bradley Beal?
Well, I'm gonna tell you right now, they're not trading Bradley Beal because you can't. No one's gonna trade for Bradley Beal. I won't give you a pack of bubble gum and a hot wrap for Bradley Beal. This is Bradley Beal's fault. It's not. It's his body's fault, but it's Phoenix's fault for saying, I'm going to pair Bradley Beal up with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, and I think that's going to be something that's going to help me win a championship. When he wasn't wanted by a poorly ran Washington Wizards franchise. I said when this happened, bringing in Bradley Beal was going to destroy Phoenix. He might as well join the AD squad as all injured squad, right? Street clothes squad. He's definitely a part of that. He's always injured. And people don't want to hear the truth, and that's fine if you don't. But the truth of the matter is, the dude's always injured. You're better off without him for that team. You got a young team, and you got other guys that can step in and play. If he was in a Toronto situation where you had enough other guys that could step in, when he's gone, this would have been a good situation. But that was never going to happen with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. You could have stayed with those two and just got a bunch of role players. The Bradley Beal move was unnecessary, I said at the time. And as most of the moves I'd be talking about, I've been proven right. Kudos, Phoenix, for screwing up your own championship window.
And can you keep a head coach for more than one season, please? Just asking. I'm just asking. Now
Durant and them going, ain't no expectations, whoever you bring in. What do you expect out of them?
Just saying, like, can you keep a coach for more than 1 year? You can't do nothing in 1 year. It doesn't happen that way. Jeez.
You needed a big man.
Everybody right. Knew that. Well, it is what it is. I don't care. All right. We got through that. All right. Commercial break, come back. Interesting weekend in the WNBA. Interesting weekend.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Into the Net FC.
Kylian Mbappe just all of a sudden finally understood his role, and I think he finally understood that everything Kylian Mbappe has accomplished already, you know, there is still a hell of a lot waiting for him in the future. Kylian Mbappe is only 24 years old. He has accomplished so much, and you know what? Kylian Mbappe has not even reached his prime.
Finally seeing, you know, the Marcus Rashford we have been hoping for such a long time, you know. But, you know, this game, you know, after everything Manchester United has been, you know, doing lately, you know, this was actually the ultimate test, you know, to see if Manchester United, you know, honestly was all of a sudden for real.
I explain this. The United States, maybe they have to suffer this loss as a lesson to learn to prepare for the future. Because 4 years from now, the World Cup is in not one, not two, but three countries. The United States of America, Canada, and Mexico. Into the Net FC is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
Get Mouser Entertainment with Paramount Plus. Stream new movies such as Mean Girls, Transformers Rise of the Beast, and Good Burger 2 with Paramount Plus. Stream live sports such as the UEFA Champions League, the NFL on CBS, the PGA Tour, and March Madness. Catch hit CBS shows such as Fire Country, Ghost, NCIS, and more. But also catch exclusive originals for Paramount Plus such as Special Ops Lioness, The Famous Stallones, The New Streaming Home, or Showtime. Watch Showtime original series and movies when you sign up with Paramount Plus with Showtime. Make it a fun action-packed adventure for the whole family and create kid-friendly profiles for the little ones. So much to stream with Paramount Plus, with over 45,000 full episodes from BET, CBS, Comedy Central, MTV, Nickelodeon, and more. Paramount Plus, mountains of entertainment.
Join Ryan McCarthy.
I became a Jets fan because Kermit the Frog was my favorite Muppet because he was green, and the Jets wore green. That's how I become a Jets fan.
And Dustin Henry.
ESPN is cashing all in on let's pay a few personalities and we'll just kind of fill in the gaps.
As they walk you through all of the world of sports from their perspective.
The Albany Empire, it's a literal circus.
No credentials required. Where, Ryan, say the tag.
Where you don't need a press pass to talk sports.
Every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. On YouTube and where you can find all podcasts.
And welcome back to Shining Lights Out here the day after the NBA finals have concluded, which we'll get to later on in the show. Shout out to Paramount Plus. I think that might be my favorite streaming app right now. If I ain't using Sling to watch any sports that's going on, I'm on Paramount Plus, catching up on all my old favorite shows like Hawaii Five-O. Hey, I love cop shows. Now I'll dive into Hawaii Five-O. Take it back to CSI New York. You know. That's just me. But I do use Paramount Plus to catch some WNBA action when it's on there. And I did that over the weekend as well. So let's get to the WNBA, shall we? And usually we'll do Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. This week we're just gonna do Saturday and Sunday. Oh boy, the Phoenix Mercury decided to do a number on the Chicago Sky up in Chi-Town. You see, six Mercury players scored in double figures. Alyssa Thomas, Satu Sabli, and Kalia Copper combined for 42 points, while the Mercury bench combined for 49 points.
They're looking at this team and saying, this is a chance for us to beat up on some people when people are seeing Chicago on their schedule, and they are doing it. And that's just what it is.
Phoenix Chicago is
looking in there like, yeah. It's time for us to get right. This is what we're going to get right.
I hear you, but what you don't know is the fact that the Mercury are coming off a victory in New York over the New York Liberty on Thursday.
I hear you, but you and me both know just because you win one game don't mean you're going to win the next game. Because a lot of times when you come off a big win like that, you had a high, and then you kind of slump. But teams are looking at this Chicago Sky team and saying, hey, this is a beatable team this year, you know? So let's go in there and let's beat them down and get us a win.
Beatable team, they're the worst team in the goddamn league.
That's why they're beatable.
Jeez. Yeah. Man, I ain't done with Chicago. Minnesota. Even without LaFisa Akari, who was out with a back injury, still put boots to asses to the Cole Johnson's favorite looking team in the LA Sparks.
Me and Cole Johnson's favorite looking team. Let's correct that. I mean, this happens, I hate to say it, but it feels like this happens every year. LaFisa Akari gets hurt and the team keeps moving. So Everybody wants to make this push for her for MVP. But if your team can do it without you, it makes it hard to be able to say you're the reason when they can do it when you're not there. That's what we're getting.
You can say, and you make a valid point, but the damn numbers don't lie.
I'm just saying. But,
yeah. Kayla McBride, 29 points, just went off on LA. See, this Minnesota team is ridiculous. They started the season without Kayla McBride, and they was whooping everybody ass. Now they don't have a piece of card, and they still putting butts to asses. When we keep saying that this team is on a revenge tour, we literally mean they're on a revenge tour. Like, everybody in their way is going to feel their wrath. That's just plain and simple. And the problem is they don't get to New York until about August. So they still got a whole month of July to go through before they even see the team that actually beat them for the title. So that means everybody's going to get to work.
Yep.
And to the LA Sparks. I know y'all are a beautiful looking team. Well, we know Kelsey Plyne's a hooper. We know Wakita Jackson's a hooper. We know Cameron Briggs a shot blocker. Eureka Hammy is a bucket. So what the hell's going on in LA?
They're not as bad as Chicago.
They're not.
But they're not very good either.
But they actually have the talent to be better than 4-10.
I mean, I get it, and I don't disagree, but you know how it go. Some teams, like Cameron Brink, missed a lot of time last year. You know, you got new pieces. Once you had it kind of happening, a lot of your core is different. Sometimes it takes more time than it should for it to really gel and everybody to understand their role, coaches to know who to play together, all those good things. And you might say, well, you're already 14 games in. We've seen it happen in the WNBA many times where it took sometimes half a season before you really felt that click. And I think that's what we see going on with the Sparks right now. But they still fine, though. They still fine either way.
And one thing about Cool McCain, he's going to make sure he points out the fineness of the cakes.
Listen,
when he can.
Listen, we talk about women's sports, right? And everybody's like, oh, this, oh, that. Women watch men's sports because they see men with big rippling muscles and handsome faces, fresh cuts looking good. Men watch women's sports because they want to see a voluptuous, lovely, taste delicious looking athletic woman. That's just is what it is. That's how you get ratings up. And the Sparks are a team that can get ratings up as a whole. I'm just saying. They need to be on TV more. That would get ratings up without Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. More of that on Marna's wrestling leg on. Trust me. Let's go to Sunday because Sunday was jam packed. Okay. We kicked it off in the ATL where Cool McCain's lovely dream continued the down spiral of the Chicago sky.
You know what it is? It's always the same, or I ain't gonna say always, but it's more often than not the same two names. You see them on the screen right now, Ryan Howard and Alicia Gray. When those two ladies are both hitting around 20 points, it's very difficult with all the other pieces that Atlanta has for them to not be in a game and win a game. And again, Chicago is putting up, for the most part, pretty good numbers. Every once in a while, they're getting blown out. I mean, some might argue 13 is a blowout, but if you look at the fourth quarter, you can see where it seemed like the sky was like, you know what, we ain't going to be able to come back. It is what it is. It just kind of felt like that.
Like, come back. It was only down one going into the fourth quarter.
Right, but some point in the fourth quarter, they realized they won't come back. You could tell by the score.
That's my problem with the Chicago Sky.
I agree. I agree. They're in these games for three quarters, but you play four quarters. And if you're playing this guy, if you can get to the fourth quarter in a close game with them either losing or winning, you're going to win that game 9 times out of 10. Or, if we want to be funny, 10 times out of 13.
Jeez. Like, my fact, have y'all beat them twice already, right? What the other game that they was actually winning at halftime and the second half it just went, like, where did y'all go?
The Dream now have something that we haven't had before. Belief in coming back. The Dream were Chicago Sky the past couple of years. Won a few more games because they were able to get a little bit better offensive players. But the same mentality was there. That, oh, here come the fourth quarter. Are we going to still be able to hit shots? The Dream have kind of turned that corner. Now they're not worried about the fourth. It's like, oh, we got another chance to go ahead and score. They're treated like the other three quarters. That's why you're seeing consistency. Even you look at this score, you're seeing consistency, 25, 21, 23, 24. They're playing the same all four quarters. They're not going to the fourth quarter and choking. Perfect example, getting to the fourth quarter and choking. 19, 26, 24, 11. That's choking. The Chicago Sky are still in choke fest phase. But Haley Van Lith is looking like someone who can be a good part of the future in the backcourt. It's going to take time.
Chicago, I know how frustrating it is. I know. It's very frustrating.
It's going to take time.
It is. Oh, this is a frustrating season if you're a Sky fan, because good gracious.
And then your Bulls on top of that, and your Bears. Ooh.
It's very frustrating in Chicago.
I don't know, Cubs or Sox, whichever one you rock with. And then Blackhawks.
I feel your pain because I love the Chicago Sky. I love Haley Van Lee. I love injuries. But I need y'all to get it together. Need y'all to get it together. Speaking of a team that got it together, how about the Washington Mystics? Mm-hmm. Rookie Sonya Sintrons from Notre Dame. 27 big ones, 11 boards, ND game winning 3-point with 12 seconds left in OT to take down the Dallas Wings 88-91.
You talk about bad teams. Dallas is definitely worse than Chicago right now.
No, I still vote Chicago. My problem with Dallas is they are in games. They just don't finish.
But
they just come up.
Chicago. So you can't say that
Chicago gets blown. Chicago chokes and gets blown out. Dallas just lose by the last freaking second. I'm like, they just can't get that one break. There's a difference.
So let me ask you a question. You tell me your thoughts on this. Who would you say has the better guard play, Dallas or Chicago right now? Who has the better guard play? Not one player, but as a backcourt. Who would you say is better, Dallas' backcourt or Chicago's backcourt?
Dallas.
So why in the freak are we sitting here looking at them with more losses than a depleted Chicago backcourt, and you going to tell me that they're not a worse team? You have your weapons. You have your people, and you still can't win games.
So they lost
12. We're not talking about all rookies.
We're 3-12, right?
Yes.
Well, I'm about to tell you, 8 of those losses came to either Minnesota, Seattle, Las Vegas.
They're still losses.
They still losses, but I'm telling you.
If you're going to compete, you got to beat those teams. We want to spin a narrative to make one team better than the other. They're both bad. Record-wise, Dallas is worse.
Record-wise, yes.
And they bring themselves up some, then it changes. But when
if you want to go record-wise, yes, Dallas is 3-12 and Chicago's 3-10. But as far as what I see from what I saw on the court between the two teams, Chicago is the worst team to watch.
Chicago has higher level meltdowns because they don't have veteran leadership at the moment. That's a problem Dallas is not going to have because they have veterans. Losing is losing.
Washington Chicago is depressing.
but they're in games until the fourth quarter. It's not like they're coming out in the first quarter and getting blown out by 10, 15 points, and then you add into it, and they're losing by 20 or 30 at the end of every game.
I'm just telling you. Remember, we got friends that live in Chicago. Washington, the sky is depressing.
Hey, there's been a lot of successful teams that Washington have been horrible. They've been depressing. There is.
I mean, for Dallas, they just can't finish. Paige is putting up good numbers. My, I think people are saying she putting up better numbers than what Caitlin Clark did in her rookie season. She just don't have the wins to go with it. I mean, come on, man. We know about Arike Ogunbowale like this.
But that's why you should be more disappointed in the Wings. It's because you know about Arike Ogunbowale. You know how nice she is. That's why you should be more disappointed.
That's a fair point.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm pretty sure Megan's not happy with her Wings.
They're both bad. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say one is like, oh, Chicago is so much better. They're both bad. I just think Chicago has a little bit more room for growth right now because you have a lot of young players that are finally getting a chance to really play together. Like Haley Van Lith being inserted in there, that's going to be a difference maker, in my opinion. Is it going to help them in the next 2-3 games? Probably not, because it takes time. But Dallas, to me, Dallas is a mindset. Close, Dallas, close. You're in games. So even though they're playing the top teams, they're hanging with them, but they're not winning. Close. If you can only beat the bottom teams, you're never going to get out the bottom. So you got to beat some of these teams, Dallas. That's all I'm saying. So I feel like Dallas is a little worse because they have more to work with, and they're still not getting it done. We know what's going on with Chicago. We know what it is. Their next draft need to be all guards.
All guards?
All guards. All guards. Everybody they pick up should be a strong ball handler. Tell me I'm lying.
Look, we're only 14 games into a 44 game. We have 30 more games left.
And right now, we already know Chicago's draft. It don't even have to be all guards, but it needs to be all ball handlers. Everybody that Chicago drafts needs to be a ball handler.
Man. This shit. I don't know. We're going to see, but yep. Shout out to Washington. They are looking much better. And talking about teams with rookies, I mean, Sanchon's going in. Kiki is like a walking double double all of a sudden. I wish they had Georgia Amore. Oh my gosh, I wish they had Georgia Amore. Dang.
But I will give the Wings one thing though. I think they'll figure it out a lot faster. And it won't just be because they're playing lesser talent. It'll be because they've got enough to get the job done. It's just, again, it's taking a little time for things to completely click.
But yeah, shout out to the Mystics, 6-8. They are,
yeah,
and they found themselves in a mix for a possible playoff.
I like it. Washington makes some moves.
Oh, the Aces took down the Fever. 89-81.
Asia and Jackie. I mean, this is a team who historically Ms. Clark has not went off against. I'm not saying that they've held her like, oh, did she get 5 points or nothing like that? But I'm saying this is a team that she's not putting up 35 points against.
Indiana has not beaten Las Vegas since 2019.
Right. They have the formula. They have the athleticism. They've got the best player, in my opinion, still in the league, in Asia Wilson, when she plays. And when she's out there, this is not a team that's easy to beat.
Man, that first half, I watched Asia miss about 4 layups. I'm like, what is going on here? I watched Jackie missed a couple of freebies. I'm like, I'm like, man, this is a turmoil time for the Aces here. I ain't even the cheapy ones going in.
In the words of Young Jeezy, in the second half, and then what?
hey, they did that interview with AJ. AJ was at halftime. AJ was like, I ain't playing good. Don't worry. We're going to get right in the second half. And she got right in the second half.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it.
Caitlin Clark was like, I think Caitlin Clark was like 7-for-20 shooting, like 1-for-8 on threes. Like, Caitlin Clark is in the midst of a struggle.
Well, you know, I think people are adapting to what she's doing differently. Because she's upped her game a little bit since last year, right? She has. She's gotten better. She got a little bit stronger. She seems more decisive with her moves and everything. So teams are adjusting. And you look at the Aces, and, you know, I said last year I felt like the championship was going to go through the Aces. I was wrong. It is what it is. But the Aces still have enough to be champions, right? They're missing Kelsey Plum, but they still have enough to be champions. And the truth of the matter is they're going to be on a deep run. And they're a team who's going to beat teams who are up and coming, but they're not ready because they don't have all the pieces at a level to play with them. They're going to do what they do. And that's what the Aces are starting to do.
Welcome. Matter of fact, make that 1-for-10 on three-point shooting for Caitlin Clark.
When that defense is up on you, it ain't that easy. It's all about the matchups. Caitlin Clark does not match up against Vegas.
The last two games out in the West Coast has not been fun for Caitlin Clark because I believe, was it Thursday? The Valkyries did a number on her, too. They first have a time meeting Caitlin Clark, and they did a number on Caitlin Clark.
It'll be up to her to make the adjustments. I believe she will. I love me some Angel Reese, and I love me some Caitlin Clark. I know a lot of people find that hard to believe, but yeah, I love them both. Caitlin's going to make some adjustments, and she's going to come out. She's going to play better over time. But you're going to struggle a little bit if certain teams match up against you. They got the speed. They got length. They got the understanding of what you want to do and what to take away from you to make the game difficult and frustrate you. And if, in any sport, heck, in any walk of life, you start to get frustrated, things don't always go as well.
So both teams 7-6. I think both teams will probably say that is below expectations. When they played their first 13 games, I don't think they saw themselves below 500 at this point. But that's where we are.
Yeah.
And you have a team like the Washington Mystics who are right on their tail.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to be careful if you Vegas in the favor. The Mystics are right there hanging around with y'all. So just throwing out there. But it was good to see the big three combined for 60 points of the 89. That means, 61 because Chelsea Gray added 18 as well.
Yeah. Vegas is still a dominant team.
Speaking of dominant team, we're starting to take some punches now. We're starting to get punched now. We had Phoenix walking in our building on Thursday and Gabe was a nice shiner, and then we had to fly out to Seattle to begin our West Coast trip, and they gave us a shiner as well.
NECA, when NECA is on and she working that thing like she's supposed to, she's a difference maker. And we already know about Skylar, now Skylar Diggins.
And, yeah, she's no longer married. So the Smith has been dropped.
Uh-huh. Seems to be playing a little bit better not being married.
Unfortunately for us, we would not have the finals MVP for quite some time because when she did come back against the Mercury back on Thursday, we injured that ankle. And then on top of that, we didn't have Sabrina Ionescu because she had a neck injury. So like I said, we're starting to get punched now.
Yep, the injury bug will get you. An injury bug will definitely get you. But the good news is, they won't be injured forever.
So and Gabby Williams decided to have a best night as a facilitator with 10 assists in this game. So, yeah, the champs have lost back-to-back games for the first time in quite a long behind time.
It's hard. Everybody get up for the champs, too. They don't care if people miss. Everybody get up for the champs. You know that.
And we lost three of our last four games. If you go back to last, the weekend before, when Caitlin Clark returned, and she gave it to us. And we talked about that last Monday.
Yeah, she's just giving it. Everybody's giving it to y'all right now, huh?
All right.
Entering y'all like y'all are Chicago Sky right now, ain't they?
Hey, man. Don't worry. Cindy Bromadella, Brianna Stordell, they'll get it together. They'll get it together.
Agreed.
But right now, we getting punched right now. We taking some blows right now.
Everybody loses a couple. You know what I'm saying?
But we are champs, so we are resilient. So we will bounce back. So, to my fellow Liberty fans, just we have to take this rough patch as it is so we can get through the other side.
Atlanta, we're doing it for the dream, baby. We're doing it for the dream.
And another team that, speaking of Washington, that Vegas and Indiana should watch out for. Yeah, I need to watch out for the Golden State. This is not your normal expansion team.
We talked about that last week. When you bring in all that talent from being able to pull from other teams, and you're the only one. Because think about it, a lot of times in an expansion, there's two or more. You're the only one. So that whole pool, you can go through and get who you feel like is the best people. They did get screwed on draft pick, though. They should not have had a draft pick that low. I don't care what nobody said. They should have had a higher pick. But they're making it happen, and shout out to Golden State. And while we're talking about bad teams, this UConn team might be worse. Than both of the other two.
I think when it comes to the Kinetic Sun, they're trying to be more physical than anybody. Because that's like they are known for physicality. But you don't have the pieces to be physical like you used to. Alyssa Thomas is in Phoenix with Saltu Sabaly.
That makes it even worse because you're trying to play a type of game you can't even play no more.
Dejanae Carrington, she's down in Dallas with Paige Beckers in the wings. Dewan Obama, she's part of Caitlin Clark Fever team. Stephanie White is the coach of the Fever. You're trying to keep the culture, but you don't have the weapons to keep the culture. I don't mind
that's
it.
Why you're worse off.
I don't mind it, though. Because you telling the other team, like, y'all not going to punk us around. But
we're just going to outscore you.
But you're going to get your ass whooped, though.
Yeah.
On the scoreboard. We're tough,
but we're going to lose tough.
And add insult to the injury for me, Caleb Thornton is like the Caleb Thornton is the player for Golden State.
And you knew somebody was going to step up because they had enough quality ladies that they got through the draft and through, I guess you call it the expansion draft.
You know what? I'm gonna pull the snowman. Give me this camera. You see, this is why I was upset when they said they wanted Caleb Thornton to go to Golden State, and the New York Liberty decided not to protect her and keep her on the squad. Do you see what she's doing in Golden State? Do you not think that would be helpful for the champs right about now? You're talking about a 3-and-D player in Caleb Thornton. Who can D your ass up and then put buckets on you on the other end. That would be very useful right now. Especially without John Crow Jones. Especially without Sabrina Ionescu. Be very helpful. Have another option. But no, we didn't. I don't even know who we protected because they didn't give out the list of what the players we protected. But I know we protected Breonna Stewart, Sabrina Ionescu, and JJ. Them three off rip we protected. Outside of that, I don't know. Maybe. Marhanna Jonas, we protected. Phoebish, who's now back in Germany helping her country win a tournament. If you would have kept Caleb Thorpe, you won't be getting punched right now. All right.
But you know, you're right, but at the same time, you know how I do. You know I am who I am. You're right, but at the same time, you gotta remember, like, you looking at your roster and saying, who do we have that they're not bad players? Because don't get me wrong, there's a lot of ladies that were good players that had to be out there because you could only hold on to so many players.
So it was like six. So
yeah. So she was probably right there on the cusp, but they was like, you know what? I think we'll be fine with the other pieces that we have if she leaves. Then people start getting hurt. Then you're like, oh, if we had this, we had that. But Kayla Thornton wouldn't be playing as well as she is with the Valkyries if she was still with y'all, because she wouldn't be getting the minutes consistently.
That is true. Matter of fact, I think you weren't on the show, but I think you watched that episode when I was saying keep Kayla Thornton. I was saying keep Kayla Thornton, and Kayla Thornton is showing why I said that. Damn. Good for her. She's showing out, though. I just wish it was in a New York Liberty uniform. But that's my soapbox for today. Because every time, what I told you last week, every time I go to State Wing, who name's coming up?
Kayla Thornton.
And every time I see her, I'm like, damn it, I wish she was still with the Liberty. But Golden State, man, this is not your normal expansion team. This team is on one. And here's the funny thing. They didn't really grab nobody that of name that was value. If you actually take a hold of the casuals that watch the WNBA, they can't really tell you who is on Golden State.
Right.
They won't even tell you one person that's on Golden State. Even some of the people who have been following the WNBA, the only name they'll probably come up with is Kate Martin.
Right.
And for obvious reasons, you know why Kate Martin would be the first name to come out of people's mouth. But yet, there's Kayla Thorpe doing her thing. And I'm still sitting here like, I still wish he was on goddamn New York right now. Oh, and by the way, speaking of which, let me take this down for a quick second. So we talked about the Connecticut Suns. We talked about the Chicago Sky. We talked about the Dallas Wings, right? Did any one of y'all thought about picking up Deja Kelly? I'm just going to throw that out there.
She could really help Chicago right now.
I'm just going to throw that out there.
She could really help Chicago.
Because Deja Kelly just sitting out there, you know. And I think Las Vegas, you might want to bring her back because I think y'all can use her to add some more scoring to your team.
I hate that she didn't stick at first. I felt like she was talented enough too, but it's a numbers game. I think she's going to float. But if she can play and be in shape and be ready for next year, I think Toronto going to snatch her up.
There is a talented guard out there right now that is just floating around. And none of y'all want to pick her up.
And Chicago really needs a talented guard to play with Haley Van Lith. Really needs one.
Could you imagine Deja Kelly, Haley Van Lith in the backcourt? And then you have Angel Reese and Camilla Cardoso in your front court.
That's what I'm saying.
You don't have to worry about Angel Reese getting double teamed when she catches the ball in the post.
That's what I'm saying. You don't have the players to force people to play so they can collapse. You want to talk about her rebounds and all that? I mean, when you double team, you're trying to put up shots. It's difficult.
And mind if whoever came out there, I hope you feel stupid because Angel Reese said, okay, that's how y'all want to play. And she played y'all like some dummies.
Y'all going to get her more money. So congratulations for getting Angel Reese more money.
You idiots.
Good job. I might buy a rebound t-shirt.
I might buy one just to prove how much these people are.
Just a spite. I hate that. The Reese haters.
Y'all trying to hit on injuries. He said, I'm going to take y'all and make money off of it.
Make money, and I love it.
What y'all get? But yeah, Deja, somebody go grab Deja Kelly, please. Especially if you need help scoring.
Chicago and Connecticut. I don't even think Dallas' problem is really.
They ain't scoring, but.
Yeah, I don't think their problem
is. We love Arike, but we know Arike had on stretch of it's not falling for her.
Yeah. When she started taking it to the hole and being that all star that we know she is, they'll be better. That's why I say I think they're the worst than Chicago right now because they shouldn't be there. Dallas should be a little bit better. I'm not saying they should be playoffs, but they should have 5 wins by now. Easy.
But yeah, I had to get Deja Kelly in there because I'm just like, why is she still out here? And I know there are teams that need help scoring and y'all wouldn't.
That's a good point, sir. It's a very good point.
Can y'all go get this young lady, please? So y'all can actually look like a team. Please and thank you. Now, upcoming games. No games tonight. Going to Tuesday.
Two playmaker rants.
Okay. Well, this is the Cool McCain game at 8 p.m. on NBA TV. The LA Sparks are in Chicago.
I'll be watching.
I just hope I can get a decent game.
I will be watching either way. Because of LA. The whole team. Chicago got some beauties too. So this won't be a bad matchup. I'll be watching.
Can one of y'all, can both teams actually show that y'all are a team? Please. Like,
yeah, somebody gotta win. Somebody gonna have 11 losses.
I just need y'all to look like teams. That's all I need. Please. And you in Chi-Town. So.
Chi-Town.
And that's on NBA TV, which means I can actually watch it if I want to. Which means if I really want to, I can watch NXT and this game at the same time.
I'll be watching this game.
Mm-hmm. Which means he ain't paying attention to NXT, that's what you saying.
NXT will be on replay. I'll be watching this live.
Also at 8, Minnesota Lynx, they are in the Capital to take on the Mystics. I didn't see how long LaFisa Carter is going to be out, but this could be a tricky game if they don't have LaFisa Carter.
If it's a back, bro, she's probably going to be out for a minute. A back ain't no one and back, two and back thing. A back is, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, trust me, I know.
Yeah, that's normally quite a few games.
So this is a tricky matchup for the Lynx. They could be walking into one, going to the Capitol. Might want to be on your P's and Q's.
Washington's getting it done, for sure.
And speaking of P's and Q's, because this guy right here, he knows his team better than anybody. Will the Dream be on their P's and Q's when they go to Dallas?
Last year, I would be concerned about this game a lot more. You're concerned about every game because, like I said, Dallas has the potential. They haven't lived up to what we expected from them, but it can come on. This is a little bit of a rivalry, too, between Atlanta and Dallas. They kind of got a little thing going on, right? So I think Dallas is going to come out and play hard. They want to beat Atlanta. They still don't like that whole Alicia Gray situation happened a couple of years ago. And so I think Atlanta should win because I think this team is more gritty. This team is kind of like, hey, it is what it is. If we have a bad game, we have a bad play, we have a bad quarter, it doesn't just deflate them like it did in the past. Because they believe in themselves and they believe in the coach.
Cool McCain.
I like the former coach, but everyone who said we need a new coach was 100% correct.
Cool McCain, have optimism for the Atlanta Dream. That means Atlanta's making progress.
They already got 10 wins. They doing something right this year. I like it.
And let's go back to NBA TV. So after after Cool McCain finishes drilling on his TV, Caitlin Clark takes the stage, and she is in Seattle. Woohoo! Caitlin Clark versus Skylar Diggins, huh? This should be interesting.
feel like it's going to be Seattle with the dub, but I feel like Caitlin Clark will definitely have a bounce back game. This is one of those teams that I feel like is going to have a little bit more difficulty stopping Caitlin Clark on the offensive side of the ball than some of the previous teams that they've played. Because you have a team that may not be very good, but they have certain pieces that work well against certain players. I think Caitlin has a chance to have a really good game against Seattle, but Seattle has a chance to get a really big win over Indiana.
So, that's tomorrow.
At the same time.
Wednesday. So NBA TV decided to give us Connecticut at Las Vegas.
Somebody, I want to say this. In the WNBA, there must be like a clause in the contract saying that, oh, you have to make sure everybody gets games. Because some of these games that y'all be picking, that's got to be it.
Because at the same time, New York is in Golden State. Instead of putting that game on TV, you're going to give me Connecticut at Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, if you lose to Connecticut, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. As an organization, you should be ashamed of yourself if you lose to this Connecticut team. Apologies to Dallas and Chicago. Connecticut's worse.
NBA TV, I hope you getting your money perfectly for this game, because only thing they care about is Adrian Wilson. That's about it.
Yeah, Vegas does have the biggest star, so you know what I'm saying? People are going to tune in to see Adrian Wilson. They hope.
Jeez Louise. That's Wednesday, unfortunately. Thursday, Prime Video takes over. And we're going to kick it off with the L.A. Sparks in Indiana to take on Caitlin Clark and the Fever. I guess to see some Kelsey Plum, Caitlin Clark action, huh? Kelsey Plum will be ready for this game. I hope y'all know that.
She definitely will. And I'll be ready to see them again with Kelsey. I'll be ready.
This will be the game. This is the game I need to see from L.A. I have to watch this game from L.A. Because if they can go into Indiana and show me something, I say they have an opportunity to turn things around. But if y'all keep doing the same thing that y'all been doing when y'all get to Indiana, there's no hope. And then after that, we go from Caitlin Clark to Asia Wilson as she hosts the Washington Mystics. Oof. I just realized the two games that Washington got. They got Minnesota coming to them, and then they flying out to Vegas. Ew, that's an ugly two-game stretch right there.
Yes, it is.
Ugh. Yeesh. Yeah, yeah. WBA ain't do y'all no favors on that one. Let's see how that goes. But Washington, they on the come up. So if I'm Las Vegas, I won't take them lightly. They on the come up. So that is our WNBA weekend recap. Commercial break, and when we come back, we have crowned an NBA champion.
Everything Boston. I love you, you morons. You kids on the block. New edition.
Dear whatever the law firm is. Sincerely, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. Go yourself again, Jason.
In a world where chronicles of the past are brought to the streams, whether the content is relatable or completely beyond your realm of life, there is no shadow of a doubt that this show is absolutely full of shenanigans. Get ready for
D. Willie in the Evening
this Sunday at 10:05 p.m. Eastern,
exclusively on Sertoba Media, where the struggle is real to be awesome.
Shop hats and official sports gear at Lids. Lids is the leader and number one destination for hats, gears, and everything that moves you, making it the perfect shop for fans to find official sports hats, merchandise, and gear. Represent your team, your town, and your style with a snapback adjustable fitted hat or beanie from thousands of college and pro teams. Browse the very latest sports jerseys and t-shirts from the best teams out there. Lids has officially licensed professional and college sport team apparel and hats featuring the hottest brands and trends. Shop online or visit one of the 100 stores across the country. Locker Rooms by Lids.
All right, welcome back. As all right, we crowned a champion in the NBA. But before yes, we get did. To that, before we get to that, let's go back to Game Six.
Let's go back.
What happened in Game Six with it? Whew, I did not like what I saw from the Oklahoma City Thunder in Game Six.
That means you got some sense, sir.
I thought I saw Oklahoma City team that was like, you know what? They're going to put everything they got into it is because they don't want to lose on their home court and have us celebrate. So you know what? When I had that second quarter win, OKC's like, we're just going to throw in the towel. We get to go home for another game. And I was pissed, to be quite honest. To the point where, depending on how Game 7 was going to go, you might have gotten a flagrant foul from me if Game 7 went another way. Because I was legit hot with Oklahoma City. Oh, you know, we got Game 7 at home. But like Indiana have this, we'll go back home and finish it off. As you can see, Obi Toppin wants to start this game with 20 points. So then we get to Game 7. And I'm watching this very intently. I'm like, I want to see how this game goes. If this game goes the way that I don't want it to go, I'm coming in here Monday, and I'm going to be bleeping off. And then 7 minutes into the game, this happened. Tyrese Haliburton, torn Achilles.
So
the worst thing that you would like to see in a decisive game of this magnitude.
So I will say that me and a lot of sportcasters were saying after, and I agree with this, that's why I'm saying me and my sportscasters were saying after game two, well, after game five, you know, in game six, we were saying, if this dude was really hurt, like they said, and he could cause further injury, why would you play him like that? And why would it seem like there was no issue? So, however, he was able to manage the pain for game six, I have to give him even more props because clearly he was actually hurt to the level that was being reported. He just played so well in that first game that you was kind of like, y'all lying. He ain't really hurt like that. So shout out to him for that. But I would say at the same time, though, you want a guy to play when he's hurt. But if you know he was really hurt, then you should have tried to save him in game six. I know you took him out after three quarters, but maybe the way the game was going, try to get him out earlier and be kind of sparse with the minutes. It's always easy to look back hindsight's always 20/20. But if he was really hurt as bad as they said, honestly, you kind of pushed him to this outcome. Now, I don't want to say it like that, but if he was really hurt, like it reported, it seems like he was, you really didn't need him to be playing as hard and as much as he was. You had to kind of be careful with those guys with this, because if there's a chance for this injury, a lot of times it does happen. And it's a non-contact injury all the time. So I hate that it happened to him. I would love to see him finish the game. But you kind of were playing with fire after getting through three quarters of him game six and knowing he was injured. But it's game seven. So I get it. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, why? But I get it at the same time.
You know what this injury reminds me of? And a lot of people, what's the word I'm looking for? Because when this injury happened, everybody looked at Damian Lillard, who tore his Achilles when he came back. Matter of fact, he came back against the Indiana Pacers, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Tore his Achilles. We saw Jason Tatum tear his Achilles against the New York Knicks. It was like, why you went that far back? And when I say the year, I think Kuma King knows exactly who I'm talking about. 2019. There was a guy out there in Golden State by the name of Kevin Durant. His first injury was the calf injury. Then he played, I think we believe it was game two of the NBA Finals.
Right.
His Achilles went. What did Tyrese Halliburton have? He had a calf injury first. Got through it in game six, came back in game seven. The Achilles went. I wasn't just talking about the Achilles injury, which people are correct with Damian Lillard and Jason Tatum. I'm talking about the exact events between Kevin Durant and Tyrese Halliburton. Kevin Durant's first injury was the calf injury. Difference is Kevin Durant actually missed some games during the playoffs. And then he came back for the finals. His Achilles went still. Tyrese Halliburton, he ain't missed no games. He played in game six, got through it. Played in game seven. Matter of fact, hit three straight threes. And then his Achilles went. And he knew right away it was over. So yes, the actual last game of a season. And this happens. And you can tell even inside that building that something was missed, because everybody watched Tyrese Halliburton go down. This is unfortunate, because now Indiana will be out their face of their franchise for the upcoming season. So how will Rick Carlisle and the Indiana Pacers adjust without having Halliburton for a full entire season? That's the question going forward for them. But we still had a game to go, and I'm going to be honest. That was 7 minutes into the game. Indiana had a 1-point lead at halftime. I'm like, if I'm an OKC fan, I'm pissed right now. How in the hell are I don't even care if we down a point. How the hell are we losing to Indiana and they lost their best player? What are we doing? And then in the second half, they got their act together in the third quarter. And you see the difference with Halliburton in the game versus Halliburton out the game. Because even though OKC handled their business in the third quarter, without Halliburton, Indiana couldn't make that furious comeback. So, right. Oklahoma City ended up pulling away 103-91, capturing the NBA championship. Oklahoma, the state of Oklahoma, can celebrate a professional title. Right, know y'all won all the college titles. You got the Oklahoma Sooners in football. You got the Sooner softball team who used to be dominated as I don't know what. Good gracious. You have a professional championship now. And with 2 hours to go before Monster Wrestling, if we could have JR on here right now, he'll be happy. He'll be a happy man because Boomer Sooner.
Boomer Sooner! Definitely.
Can't be mad at them. They was the best team from the start of the season, and they finished the season as the best team. Good job for them. And this is the seventh different team to win a title in seven seasons. So there's no there's nothing but parity in the NBA right now. We ain't doing back-to-back. We ain't doing dynasties. Even though they have opportunity to do it because that's one of the youngest teams in the NBA. That means everybody's on a contract. But some things shifted in the West, like we talked about earlier, because Kevin Durant's not in Houston. We're not going to count out Cool McCain's Denver Nuggets.
We can get a bench.
We're not going to count out the Minnesota Timberwolves. We're going to see if Dallas can stay healthy with Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, and company. We're going to see how the Los Angeles Lakers are run going forward. Both LeBron James and Luka Doncic. But if there was a team that can go on the dynasty, it's the Oklahoma City Thunder. The problem is, you're in the West. And anything happens in the West.
This is very true.
And for the first time since Michael Jeffrey Jordan, we had somebody that wins the Most Valuable Player Award, the scoring title, the NBA Championship, and Finals MVP, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Shout out to him, man. Shouldn't be a surprise.
Now, he has had one hell of a season.
Yeah, maybe I say this because I'm a Nuggets fan, but once he got past Denver, I feel like there wasn't anyone else East or West that was going to even take them to seven, which obviously wrong about again. Indiana did that. But Oklahoma blew dank game one. They gave away game one. Everybody cries about, oh, Indiana gave the series back. Oklahoma City gave the series away to begin with.
They did.
That's the youth.
They did. And that's why I got on Indiana for giving game four away. You don't give that team the advantage again. They had it. They lost it. You were supposed to keep it. But you didn't. And I said it on this program last week and Cool McCain got tested. Y'all was not going to win in that building again.
You did say that.
When you go up against a team like Oklahoma City and you take the first game in their building, you don't give them an opportunity to get it back. You don't do that. And me and my brother, we had a conversation about this. So I'm gonna take this down. I want to see what your thoughts on it. Because I was mad at OKC because what they did in game two. I'm like, this is why we revealed the names of Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. Because when it was time to put you down, oh, they was going to put you down. You're not getting a second life with them two. That's why MJ never went to a game seven in the NBA Finals. And if you look at Kobe's finals history. He only been to a game seven one time. That was with the Boston Celtics. When they was trying to put you down, they putting you down. That is what is missing in the NBA right now. You can look at a team or a player and say, yeah, they got the advantage and they ain't giving it back. They just not giving it back. But Oklahoma City, they got the job done. So I can lay off on them. They got it done. And that's all that really matters at the end of the day. You finish the job. You can call yourself champions. You can celebrate already up to late October when the new NBA season starts. Before I go on, anything you want to say?
Shout out to Indiana. What's not talked about a lot is the fact that Indiana did a lot to make this happen. Indiana was out there giving it their all, doing everything they could. And you can't ask for more. I love what I saw. I think they're the true team. We talk a lot about teams having this and teams having that and blase this and blase that. We talk about it a lot. But what we got here was a team. Pascal Siakam was just as important to that team as Tyrese Halliburton. Halliburton was the closer, no doubt about it. Nobody's trying to say that he wasn't. But Siakam did his thing there too. And that's important for people to understand. It wasn't just one person. That was a good team, and they'd still hung in there even without their guy. That is also hard to do.
Indiana fault, even after Halliburton went down until the third quarter happened. And once the third quarter happened, it was the end of that. But they fought.
They fought.
They fought.
They took CJ McConnell out. They messed up.
You talking about the Indiana team that was the underdogs in every single series in these playoffs. From the first series all the way to the finals, they was the underdog. And they made it to a game seven in the NBA finals.
Yeah,
unfortunately, one of the best playoff runs in history, one Tyrese Halliburton, ended with injury. Because remember, that guy hit a game winner or a game or a buzzer beater in every single series. Mr. Clutch.
So here's an argument I've seen online a lot. I'd love to hear your opinion on this. So a lot of people are saying Tyrese Halliburton is or isn't a great player based on these playoffs. I'll tell you personally, I think he's been a great closer, but he hasn't had a lot of games where he's truly affected the game until the last few minutes. So I think he's been a great closer, but he's had a lot of very pedestrian scoring lines and a lot of times where he kind of just disappeared throughout the series.
So
I think it was a great run, but I wouldn't say he's a great player because of the run.
So this is probably big bets on what Stephen A. and Jay Williams had a conversation on throughout these playoffs about, is Tyrese Halliburton a superstar? And I'm on Stephen A.'s side on this one. I don't consider Tyrese Halliburton a superstar, because with a superstar, you know night in, night out what you're going to get from them.
Agreed.
You know exactly what's coming your way when that person walks into the building. You know, a lot of people like to pick on LeBron James, but if you want to be honest, LeBron James is top two in the NBA for a reason. You know what you get from LeBron James. I don't care if you love him, like him, you dislike him, you can't stand the man. You know when he walking in, buddy, you know what you getting from LeBron James. Off rip. Then you say, ask yourself, what is everybody else going to do with him to help bring home the chip? Dwayne Wade. You know what you're going to get from Dwayne Wade. You know exactly what you don't get from Dwayne Wade. Now, he is the face of Indiana. So he is a star. He's the face of the franchise. That does make him a star. But a superstar, I'm not there. My problem is his own peers call him overrated. That was my big problem. But y'all call that man overrated. Meaning when you call somebody overrated, that means they're not supposed to be who they are. No, he is exactly who he is. That man does not flinch any critical moments. That man is ready to deliver if you ask him to deliver. We have never seen, I have never seen a player that can make the shot in every single series.
I can't think of anybody. Mike would be my closest, but I doubt he had to do it in every series just because there were some series where they was really whooping your ass.
We talking about every single series, there was a moment where Tyrese Haliburton was called upon to make the shot, and he hit every last one of them.
Yeah, you have to give him props for that. So I would say star, like you said. I wouldn't go superstar, and I wouldn't go great. I wouldn't go great player of the playoffs. I would say great moments.
You know, Jalen Brunson got the regular season title clutch player of the year. But in the playoffs, Tyrese Haliburton showed he is Mr. Clutch. Because they don't get more clutch than playoffs. And you have to have it.
Right. You get props for that for sure. Nobody, don't ever try to take it away from that man.
So I'll give him that. And that concludes the NBA season. The next time the NBA comes around will be late October. And guess what? NBC is back on the coverage of the NBA. You have Amazon on the coverage of the NBA along with ESPN. But there will be no TNT.
But you do get Inside the NBA.
And ESPN has come out and said that they are not changing anything that Inside the NBA has been for the last 20 plus years. They will be the pregame and the postgame. So that'll be interesting.
That makes me more interested in watching the fact that they're not changing, because if they was going to change it.
They pretty much, they doing the same thing what they did with Pat McAfee and his crew.
Yeah. Oh, and they're going to record from the same, from Atlanta still.
Yep.
They're not even going to have to fly up to record. They're going to still record in Atlanta.
The only time they'll have to fly out is for big major games, probably like the NBA Cup Championship.
Yeah, anything where they would be in studio, they'll still, I mean, at the game, they'll still go, but normally they'll just be in the studio in Atlanta.
Yeah.
They're not even changing that.
So
we're going to get the same vibe, y'all. It's not dead.
Nope, it's not dead. You're just going to a different location. That's all. Shout out to Victor, who was in the chat. Appreciate you, brother. Victor's one of the ones that I was very disappointed because he was looking for a figure of power. And trust me, if Indiana would have won, it would have been, it would have been one to remember, because I would have went off on OKC. I would have went in, especially what happened in Game 6. I was very disgusted, but they won. And speaking of which, close the show just like this. Your 2024-2025 NBA champions, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Y'all have a good
one. You've done good. You've done great. But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your camp.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better keep
it out the flow. Girl, that's the only way to go. Let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting the Lights Off.
Masterpiece.